Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at WIASLA.com.
Patti Loveless has been described as one of the most popular female singers of country music's new traditionalist movement. Her music incorporates elements of old-time honky-tonk and contemporary country rock. Loveless is nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Country Female Vocal Performance for the title track on her latest album, On Your Way Home. One of the songs in the album is called The Grandpa That I Know. It's sung from the point of view of a child attending his grandfather's funeral. Patti Loveless told Ann Strangechamps what she did to try to become the character inside the song.
When I first heard the song, I thought, this sounds like a young man, a young boy that has attended his grandfather's funeral. So my whole approach to the song, when it was presented to me and to think about recording the song, I was thinking about how to try to make it become from maybe an experience of my own. And the only experience really truly I could come up with, which my grandparents, for the most part, I was a very young child. I was like 3 and 4 when most of my grandparents died. But with Emery, my husband and my producer, his grandfather, who they call Papa Cochran, Homer Cochran is his name, Emery would always talk about his grandfather so much to me. And so with memories of and recollection of the conversations we had about Papa Cochran, I sort of took Emery's memories of his grandfather and sort of put it within this song. And that was the only way that really I felt that I could really make it become my own.
Brand new shoes, they hurt my feet. This lace collar's choking me. Cutting off my air supply when I hang my head to cry. When I hang my head to cry. They've got him.
Is your voice differently at all when you're singing kind of an old-time mountain song?
I don't think I really use it differently. I think because I was so influenced as a child growing up that I think I really know where to go whenever I'm singing a song such as Daniel Prayed or A Soul of Constant Sorrow, which is on the Mountain Soul record. And, you know, it's another take of A Man of Constant Sorrow. I mean, there's been many different titles to that particular song. It's probably 100 years old or more.
I'm a soul of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days.
There's a story I read in your press kit, thinking about how this is the music that you grew up with, and it said, when you were little, you asked your dad once, why do you listen to this music? It makes me cry. There are a lot of really mournful songs in this particular tradition. Why do people like sad songs so much, do you think?
Well, I did. You know, the thing of it is that You probably have to think about, at the time, the age I was. And I think I might have been around 13 or 12. And I was beginning to learn country music of the 60s, like George Jones and Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. And I was getting into listening to some rock and roll, of course, getting ready just around the corner of becoming a teenager, which I think I might have been 12 or 13, but I was an older 12 or 13, maybe going on 30. that I think during this time, you know, socializing with friends and everything, that I probably questioned, because I was very moved by the music whenever Daddy would play the records of the Stanley Brothers and Drunken Driver, or gosh, there were so many songs that would just tear my heart out, and it would bring me to tears. But I found that years later, when I was recording with Ralph Stanley, and we recorded Pretty Polly together, I think this might have been around 94, I believe, 94, 90, 94, 95, and I was just standing there in the studio with him, and as soon as I started hearing him sing, I started tearing up. So I think in the long run, my dad knew what kind of music moved him and what was soulful music. And he was right. I mean, it's very soulful music. And I always call Ralph Stanley the most soulful voice of the mountains. You know, he's the father of mountain music to me.
Oh, Polly, pretty Polly, would you take me and come? Polly, pretty Polly, would you take me and come? You just sit beside me and tell me your mind.
Open up her bosom as white as any snow. He opened up her bosom as white as any snow. He stabbed her through the heart and the blood did overflow.
Then he went down to the jailhouse and what did he say? He went to the jailhouse and what did he say? Kill pretty Polly and trying to get up. Way.
Hear the sounds of loneliness. Hear the sounds all around. Since you just hear these sounds from now on.
Here's one song I find really moving on your Mountain Soul album, Sounds of Loneliness. And you actually wrote this song yourself. I think you don't write very many. And one of the amazing things about it is you wrote this song when you were 14, so right around that time that you're talking about. And I just keep wondering, I mean, were you that sad at 14? Does that come out of personal feeling?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with where I come from, and I was still sort of keeping up with one of my friends back in Pikeville, Kentucky. When I was 14, we were living in Louisville, Kentucky at the time, and of course, you know, Daddy was no longer working, and we had to go to Louisville for him to seek medical treatment for many different kind of illnesses that he had developed from working in the mines. And I think for the most part, because I was in country music, because I did the music that I chose to do, when I was going to school, I think there was quite a few kids that I didn't think would quite understand what I was about and what I did. And I didn't really tell too many. I think there was maybe a couple of friends in high school that I even talked to that even knew what I did. Because to me, this kind of music was more of an adult form of music rather than a teenager's music. And Sounds of Loneliness came from, I think, missing back home and missing my friends back in Pikeville, Kentucky, and missing that kind of life. And it was taking me some time, because we moved to Louisville when I was like 10, and it was still taking me some time to get used to the city life.
Was it really different from life in Pikeville?
Very different, because it seems like once we got in the city, there were so many things going on, which my mom and dad were not able to afford. And you know, just seems like basketball and cheerleaders and just everything going on at school that I really wasn't able to be a part of. But, you know, and in the long run, I think I became involved with something that I tended to love more, and that was music. Music was always a good friend to me. It was the best friend in the world. And I think I wanted to hang out with music more than I did any of my school friends. You know, that's not taking anything away. I mean, I had a couple of great friends in high school, but Sounds of Loneliness, when I look back on it, that was my dad's favorite song that I would sit in the kitchen and sing to him. He always wanted me to sing it. It seemed like every time I picked up the guitar, he was saying, "Honey, do that song. Do that song you wrote." And I think he was missing Pikeville as well, and family, and the lifestyle back in Pikeville. And I was going to a little school called Elkhorn City Elementary, that it was, once you got home from school, you did chores around the house, like if mother needed help ironing or mother needed help washing dishes or anything like that, you know, I was always jumping in there and doing it. And the same thing went for the boys when we came home. It's, you know, we didn't think about going to play football or mm-hmm. or cheerleading or anything like that at the time. And that was just not the way life was within my family.
Hear the sound of my heartbeat. It beats so loud. Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, that sound, that lonely sound. That lonely sound. That lonely sound.
There's a song I wanted to end with because kind of speaks to that sense of history you were alluding to, of being part of a tradition. It's called Last in a Long Lonesome Line. Would you tell me a little bit about that one?
When I was approached with this song, when they played it for me, the one person that came to mind who I'm very, very close to, of course, is George Jones, and I've worked with him. It's just this particular song, you know, that George has done many, many tunes that talks about, I think, his life, his way of living, and, you know, that there's no covering it up, and he just poured his whole heart and soul into it, and that, you know, it was just like an open book. And artists such as he and Merle Haggard, and my goodness, those kind of artists that I feel that are very, very few of today, and the ones that I feel that have really paved those roads, you know, with their souls to country music, and has been great teachers. And to me, this is sort of a tribute to those like George Jones and like a Merle Haggard and Lefty Frizzell. And I mean, there's just so, Farron Young, I even think, you know, was one of them. There's so many that I can name here that this song just kind of brings to mind. But when I was doing it, I approached it like I knew that George Jones would approach this song.
If I appear to be holding on tight, you'd be right. I've been holding on for dear life. I'm
Patti Loveless, with a song called Last in a Long, Lonesome Line. It's from her latest album, On Your Way Home. Patti Loveless spoke with Van Strange Champs.